Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. Yeah, great to have you guys this morning. Excited to continue on. We are wrapping up our series today. It's called Wisdom Under Fire. It's been pretty awesome and challenging and good. If you've missed it, you go ahead and check it out online on our app, on our YouTube channel. We've got all those things. We put it up each and every week. It's been a fantastic series, challenging and encouraging, but we're going to wrap that up today. We're going to wrap it up with our last topic, and we're talking about unity, what it means to have unity, fight for unity. That's the conversation this morning. With that, next week, we're starting a new series talking about the home sphere. It's called Homewreckers. That's all I'm going to say about that. Homewreckers. This is about the home. You may go somewhere with that title, but the idea is we're going to talk about what are the things that attack us in our homes from a myriad of different things. So it's going to be really good. I think it's a very timely series. If you would benefit from that, it would be good to have you back. If you know anybody that would benefit from that, which is everybody, by the way, you should invite them. Because you can't do life alone, and I bet you could have conversations about what that looks like in your home and in their home. So we're starting that next week. It's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. So we're moving into the last part of our series today, but today I heard also has a game today, some sort of a football game later. Anybody know what that means? The Super Bowl today, right? Okay. I got to ask you, who's going to win? Chiefs. Or who are you rooting for? Who's going to win her Chiefs? You know what somebody said last service? Patriots. And what's so painful is that's still kind of true because Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and all this stuff. So either way, there's going to be a game later. Here's what I know is true about the Super Bowl, right? That's kind of the championship. That's like the big game. It's what they're shooting for to the championship of their season each and every year. That's their goal. That's their destination. And I know that this game, this Super Bowl game, has a lot of added pieces that goes into it, right? It's not just the game. There's the week leading up to it. This year's even more different based on COVID and the restrictions and all the stuff. But there's added pressure on this game. There's the family part of it. There's the media part of it. There's all the different components that have nothing to do with the game that are going to gravely impact the game. It's going to be tough for those guys. It's going to be a fight. They're going to have to fight their best more than they usually have to win this game. Would that make sense? I think it would. Here's what I know is going to be true. Whoever's going to fight to win this game, who I believe is going to win this game, regardless of who it is, they're going to have to play together to win. They're going to have to be on the same page and on the same team. And they're going to have to choose to overcome the obstacles that are going to be in their way if they want to be victorious to achieve the goal that they have. Because I know what happens when I'm on a team, we don't play together. And what happens when I'm on a team, we get distracted, we can't overcome the obstacles. Even with the same goal in mind, I've been on plenty of teams to where we can't achieve that goal, not because we didn't beat the other team, but it's because we beat ourselves first. And I played football, and I can remember the types of things that we used to try to do to beat the other team. Yes, we tried to play the game well, but we also had figured out that if we could get the other team to fight against themselves, we got a way better chance. And we used to do stuff that had nothing to do with the game. Because I figured out if I could get in your head and I can get you to not trust your teammate, if I could get you to pay attention to something else that was not your job, not your task, and I could get you to fight against each other, you can't beat each other. How are you going to beat us? So we used to talk about things. I played football. We used to say stuff that had nothing to do with the game. Oh, your cleats are stupid. Right? Oh, hey, your truck is not as strong as our trucks are, right? Just random stuff. People get frustrated. Right? What are we talking about, man? Like, you don't even know me. And then we would try to get them to turn on each other, right? Hey, you just got destroyed last play. You really gonna think your guy's gonna block for you next time? He's not gonna do his job. He doesn't know what he's doing. Or we'd chirp. We'd try to get in their heads, get in between them so they would fight against each other. Because just like Jesus' words are true in sports, it's true in the church, house divided cannot stand. So I know there's a football game today. I think the team that's going to play well together is going to win. But we're not here to talk about football this morning, are we? We're here to talk about our lives. We're here to talk about what it means to live life, to be a part of the church. We would say that church is a team sport, that God has called every single one of us to be on his team, the winning team, which is the team of the church. But just like football, man, if we don't choose to fight together and to fight for unity, but instead we choose to fight against each other, at each other, then we're not gonna win. Now here's what's true, guys. We know that in the end, we win. We win because of Jesus. We win because of what Jesus has done, who he is, and he's overcome the enemy and the adversary by dying on the cross and raising again, amen? We know that we win. But until then, until Jesus decides to come back, he has given us a part to play on his team. And part of playing on his team is to fight for unity together, to love one another well. Scripture says that as we love each other well, the world will know that Jesus is actually the Son of God and was sent. How we play together, what we choose to fight for, is going to determine if the world sees us any different than the person down the street. And that's our part to play. So that's what we're talking about this morning. Unity amongst believers. Unity between us. This is a family conversation this morning. Part of this series, we've talked about how do we interact with the world wisely, right? What do we do with authorities and how do we react to circumstances that are out of our control and in control? And we've talked a lot about Daniel and about what he did. But this morning, we're talking about us, brothers and sisters, the family of God, the church together. How are we to be? And what we are called to be is unified, to love one another well, even when it's tough. When there's added elements around the game that we play, God calls us to love each other well. Unity between us this morning is what we're gonna talk about. So we're gonna dive in, and as we dive in this morning, we're gonna consider a thought for what it means for us to be unified. And the thought is this: in order for us to be unified together, we need to fight the right fights the right way. We need to fight the right fights the right way. What that means is there can be a lot of things we can fight about, and they're the wrong fight to fight. It's not the things we should be fighting for, not the things we should be fighting against. Now, the right fight is important, and we're gonna talk about that. But how we fight the fight is equally as important. We can be absolutely aligned with God's will, be in concern about the things that he's concerned about, and absolutely blow it by going about it the wrong way. By acting that is not in accordance to God's will, by saying things and being things that God desires us not to be in an effort and in an attempt to do things that God is asking us to do. Right fight, wrong way. Both of those things are essential. So this morning for us, as we dive in, the right fight for us as Christians is a fight for unity, not to be right. We're gonna fight for unity, not fight to be right. And we're gonna look at Romans 14 this morning. It's gonna be kind of our foundational verse to highlight some of these pieces. Romans 14, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And in their specific circumstance, get this, right? They're fighting over things. They're fighting against each other. They have a bunch of quarrels that they're trying to work through, contextually appropriate. And there's opinions and there's a whole bunch of different stuff. So Paul addresses them in this chapter. And here's my hope for us this morning, that we would look at it, recognize what they're doing, what Paul is encouraging them to do and not do, and then try to make it applicable to us. What are the things that are similar that they endured that we have to endure? What is the encouragement and the challenge that Paul is giving them that we can take from it as well? What does it look like for us to identify these pieces? And so we're gonna look at Romans 14, but the entirety of the message, we're gonna cover three things, just three. The first one is gonna be, what is it that we're fighting about? Or what is it that we're fighting over? The what component of it, right? That's super important. The second piece is going to be how. How are we striving? How are we fighting for the things that we care about? And lastly, we're gonna kind of put those things together. We're gonna look at a couple examples. And I want us to consider this morning, you, who are you fighting like? What are you fighting for? How are you going about it? And who are you fighting like? Is it for things of unity? Is it for the things of the Lord? Or is it for yourself? Is it for something different? Let's dive in. Romans 14, we're going to let it speak. I'll let God speak to you this morning through this text. Here we go. Romans 14, verse 1. Except whose faith is weak, the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge somebody else's servant? To their master, their own master, servant shall stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than the other, and another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so unto the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. Whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives our lives alone or for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died, returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead, or the dead and the living. Verse 10, you then, why do you judge your brother and your sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account to ourselves of God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace in mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat, to drink wine, to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Lastly here, he says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep it between yourself and between God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Amen. There's a lot there. There's quite a bit to say. If you look at the entirety of the scripture, he kind of says the same thing over and over again, just with different examples. It's a lot of encouragement. There's a lot of therefore, but there's also a whole bunch of consider what it is that you're doing and why are you doing it, and consider others. Here's what I pull out of this text. It starts at the very beginning. Do not fight over disputable, non-definitive, unclear, unsettled issues. Don't fight over what is not absolutely black and white and clear in Scripture. Do you see that? Don't fight over it. That's what Paul says. If it's not perfectly clear, don't fight. He also says, don't judge each other and hold each other in contempt over these issues. Issues that I would say do not pertain to salvation. Don't hold each other in jail. Don't hold each other in contempt. Don't judge each other over these matters. Food, drink, days, schedule. Don't judge each other. Don't hold each other in contempt over non-salvation issues. He says the kingdom is not about food or drink or days or preference or opinion, but about what it means to submit and follow Christ, to make every effort to be in peace and in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Make every effort. Fight. That's that fight word. Strive. Do everything that you can to make sure that you're right and that they are wrong and that they know it. Is that not in there? I didn't see that one in there. Make every effort to fight for peace in mutual edification before the Lord for his sake. Make effort. Try hard, not easy. Fight for peace in mutual edification. He says, blessed is the one who does not condemn themselves by what they approve publicly. Here's how I believe that he's talking and how I interpret this. You have an opinion. Somebody else has a different opinion in the context of what Paul's saying, food, drink, days, or whatever. And you're going to decide to make a publicly approved message that this is the right one. What if it's not the right one? What if you're wrong? He says, blessed is the person that doesn't condemn themselves by making sure that everybody knows that their opinion is the right one, because it may not be. And in fact, he says it doesn't matter if your opinion is the right one on this one anyway, because that's not what it's about. It's not about the food or the not, the vegetables or the not, the drinking or the not, the day or not. He says those things are important because there's implications of who they are and who you are, but that's not what it's about. The kingdom is about Jesus, and it's about being on the same team. And so the one that has to demand publicly that their opinion is right is one that is not going to be blessed, and they publicly condemn themselves because my way's right. He says, don't do that. Rather, fight for unity and fight for peace together. Consider the topics that you're talking about. That's the first idea today, right? What is it that you're choosing to pick a fight about? And Paul, in this context to the Romans, gives a whole bunch of examples, doesn't he? This and that and this and that. We got a whole bunch of examples we could talk about today, couldn't we? Whether it's politics, whether it's safety, whether it's health, whether it's schedules, anything that you have. I know that you know the topics that you could be quarreling over right now. That could be something that you're demanding is absolutely right, that is absolutely non-essential and not absolutely black and white for salvation. Paul says, don't fight over it. Don't make it a bigger issue than it is. Don't die on a hill that doesn't require you to die on it. Be considerate of what it is that you're looking towards. I'm right, they're wrong. Okay, I feel better. It's not easy, you guys. Never said the conversation was easy. Never said the topic was easy. Never said that these things don't have implications. These specific topics for them at the time had significance. And at some point, it was obedience to God. But in this context, he's saying, don't fight over that stuff. Don't condemn each other. Don't do everything that you have to prove that you're right and they're wrong. Because they're on the same team, right? Right? He's talking to them, between each other. The representation of who God is, his church, his people. Don't be the people that just walk around and fight and bicker and yell at each other. God has put us on a team to represent him to a lost and dying world over things that are essential. And we get to represent that. And if we're going to be the team that's going to fight against each other and not trust each other, not fight for each other yet against each other, be the people that are going to backbite and bicker and can't get on the same page for anything, who's going to be attracted to that? Who's going to think that there's a God that loves and saves when all we do is fight with each other? And eventually the things that we're talking about don't actually have to deal with salvation. They're just preference. Now, they're close to home, I get it. But Paul says, don't make those issues bigger than they need to be. Because remember, there's more to the story than just these things. The story is about Christ, not about us. What is it that we're fighting for? As a society, we've moved from being agreeable with our values. We've moved from being agreeable to actually shared values. We've actually moved from shared values to tolerable values, meaning I'll tolerate what you can do, what you think. But we're actually in a culture and a society now that our values have hostility between each other. There's hostility for what you think and what I think. But again, Paul's talking about, I'm talking about in the house of God, between believers. It's one thing to go, man, we have disagreement with the world. It's a whole different thing to go, we have disagreement between each other. This is between us. So what do we do with that? We We know that we're called to be unified. We know that we're called to stand up for what we believe is right in the Lord. How do we differentiate the what of what we fight for and what we fight against? Well, as a church at Real Life Ministries, we believe that the Bible leads us in what that is for us to be about. And here's what it is. We're going to do everything in our power to fight for unity and agreement and alignment on the things that are absolutely essential for salvation. Absolutely essential for salvation. And the things that are absolutely essential for salvation is that there is one way, one truth, one life. Jesus Christ is our Lord Messiah. He's died, rose again after a death on the cross. 3 days later, for whoever shall believe in him and confess with their mouth that he is Lord, by grace through faith, we are saved. That is essential. Everything else is just kind of preferential. Again, please don't hear me say that it's not important. These issues are important. What we believe about who we are, what we believe about issues of doctrine within the Bible, they matter. But you need to ask yourself this question. Can somebody else's opinion on this be wrong and them still be saved? Can I be wrong on this issue and can I still love Jesus with everything that I am? Can I be doing my best? Can I want to follow God? Can I want to be on the team? Can I believe in what the word says and be a little bit off on this one side tangent thing and still be saved? Can I still be on the same team? And if the answer to that question is yes, don't fight over it. Don't fight over it. Yeah, but I know the Bible doesn't say it. It's not clearly black and white, but I read a book and I watched a video this one time and here's what I think he means. And so if you don't believe this, you're not saved. No, don't do that. Guess what that is? That's like the football story where the enemy that we have that's playing against us has tricked you. He's got you to fight inwardly. He's got you to demand things that have nothing to do with the actual point of the game, but to fight between one another. Don't hold each other in contempt. Don't judge each other. Fight for each other. We're going to fight for the things that are essential. And we're also going to fight for the things that are non-essential. But we're called to fight to give grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and fight to understand, fight to listen. Why would somebody have that perspective? Why do they act this way? Why do they make these decisions? I want to fight to understand so that we can work together, not against each other. Here's what I know. If I always fought for the things that I thought I was right about all the time, guess who would be on my team? Just me. At the end of the day, it's going to be just me. Because I have preference and I have opinions and I have life experiences and I have things I care about, hurts and hangups and all this stuff. And if it was always about what I think is right all the time and I'm not going to consider somebody else, I'm going to be the only one on my team at the end of the day. And I would wager to say that that may be true about you. Just saying. We have to choose to fight for unity. And the things that align us, that make us on the same team, are the essentials of salvation for what God says in the Bible. All the rest we have to fight to work together to give grace and mercy, to be unified when we don't always agree. And that's what Paul is talking about in this passage. We need to fight for unity even when we have disagreement. So the second thing I want to talk about this morning is just a little bit of how, just a little bit. We talk about this all the time here at our church. Who are we? Are we growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Are we attaining Christ-like character as we choose to follow him? And all the time we're talking about how we have to lay our life down and to pick up what Jesus says is true. We have to talk about what does it look like to stay in relationship, to be honest and open and transparent. That's why we're constantly saying get in a group, meet with somebody, have somebody speak into your life, grow in these areas. The fruit of the Spirit is something that comes out of us when we abide in Jesus. We have relationship with God and other people. We're constantly talking about this because left to our own devices, we fall short. But when we're willing to abide in what God says is his plan, the word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God working together, fighting together, practicing together, we change. And we can change the world because of it. Just a little bit this morning, there's a couple things I just want to throw out in the context of fighting for unity. Fighting for unity. I hope one of these hits you this morning. Just one of them. Just a few here. Number one, I got to have humility to hear. Humility to hear. This goes two ways. Do you have humility to hear from somebody else? When they have something to say, when they have an encouragement for you, when they have a challenge for you, when they have a question for you, when they're wondering why you're doing what you're doing, living the way that you're living, saying the things that you're saying, buying the things that you're buying, the way that your schedule looks the way it does, do you have enough humility to even be willing to hear what they have to say? If it's a correction, if it's an encouragement, or are you too proud because you're right? You're too proud because you know the right thing and they don't. You're too proud because who are they to say anything to me? Look at me and look at them. Unity is having the humility to be able to hear. And it goes in the other direction as well. Do you have enough humility to hear where somebody else is? Why they're doing what they're doing? What have they been through? What's their story? What are they dealing with right now? One of the biggest mistakes I make all the time is I'm too stinking selfish to realize that not everything is about me. Somebody makes a comment that I don't like. Somebody makes a decision that I don't like. And I'm like, dang, what did I do? What did I do for them to treat me that way? And you know what? Most of the time has absolutely nothing to do with me because they're living life and they got hard stuff going on and they're trying to make the right decision and they're trying to do the best with what they got. And yet I don't have any humility to be able to be willing to listen, to hear. I'm not fighting for unity. I'm fighting to be right, fighting to make sure that I'm okay and that I feel better. It's painful to say that, but it's true. Fighting for humility is going to be a way that we can be unified if we're willing to listen and to hear. What are you fighting for? Because guess what? That's hard, you guys. It's hard to be humble. And usually the way that I get humbled is not the way in which I like it. Hardly ever. It's usually from somebody else saying something that I don't want to hear most all the time. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to fight to be unified. I don't want to fight to listen to that person. I don't want to fight to be loving and grace-filled and change. I want to fight to be right. Get away from me. Don't talk to me right now. It's not unifying. It's divisive. It's not Christ-like. It's selfish. Humility to hear. I think we need to have courage, challenge each other. I think we need to have Christ-like character and be compassionate with one another. I think we need to have the confidence in knowing God's word and knowing people to be able to speak truth and correct each other. We need to fight to lay our lives down, to have humility, to have love and grace and mercy. We can go on and on and on. And what you're going to hear is the fruit of the Spirit. What you're going to hear is relationship. What you're going to hear is do life together and forgive each other. It's the recipe that God has given us to live in this life. It's what he calls us to be a part of the church. Fight for each other, not against each other. Pull for each other, not away from each other. Fighting is something that God calls us to do, you guys. We don't get to get out of the fight. He never promised he'd take us out of it, but he's always promised to empower us and be with us in it. We just need to decide, what are we going to fight about? What are we going to fight over? Are we going to fight for each other? Are we going to fight against each other? Lastly, this morning, talked about what and how. Last piece is who. Who you fight like. There's two major dichotomies in Scripture. One is Jesus the Christ, the perfect God-man that has given us a model of perfection. And then there's his adversary, Satan. And so I got to ask myself, when push comes to shove, when the fire gets turned up, when it's hard, right, I'm fighting for wisdom, who do I fight like? Do I fight like the devil or do I fight like Jesus? And here's what's true this morning. In my own flesh, when it gets hard and difficult and I get tired, I tend to fight like the devil. And that's unfortunate. I don't want to do that. But I need people in my life to help me not do that. That's why I need my men's group. That's why I need my life group. That's why I need an open, honest relationship with my family and with my wife. I give her the chance to say, you're kind of fighting dirty right now. No, I'm not. I don't want to hear that. Of course, you're still fighting dirty when you say that. Here's what's true. Never is it okay. Never does God condone. Never are we to fight like the enemy for the things of God. Never. That's fighting the right fight the wrong way. Never can you justify your sin, your anger, your divisiveness, the way that the enemy fights. Never is that justifiable before the Lord for the right reason. That's called making an excuse. That's justifying your sin. That's promoting yourself and division over grace and mercy and what God says is true, because the greatest commandment that God says is to love others and to lay your life down for them. Never do we get to fight like Satan for the things of God. Here's how the enemy fights. He fights dirty. He lies, tries to get us to isolate, doubt, have fear. Jesus wants us to love and have compassion and grace and mercy and forgive. Every single thing that the enemy does is to do whatever he can to drive a wedge between you and God, between you and your relationships, between you and your spouse, you and your kids, you and your coworkers, you and your community. That's how the devil fights, right? That's how we used to fight in football, dirty like the devil. We try to get them to fight each other, get in between them, not trust each other, not have hope for each other, doubt each other, divide each other. Where everything that Jesus does and he's always done and what God does when you choose to follow him and to believe him is that he promises to go before us and behind us. He promises to constantly walk around us, and everything that Jesus does is in an effort and an attempt to push us back together. He's pulling for us so that we go towards each other, not away. He's doing whatever he can to try to empower us to fight together, not against each other. And so I gotta ask you this morning, when push comes to shove, are you fighting like Jesus or are you fighting like the enemy? Are you finding yourselves pulling away, isolating, getting angry and having fear and saying, I don't wanna connect, I'm gonna isolate, I don't wanna forgive, I wanna be right? It's divisive. God puts us on the same team together. That's incredible. He calls us to be a part of his family in the body. That's awesome. And here's what's great. Guys, we win. Like, we already know we win. Jesus has overcome, right? And it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the way that we live our lives, the way that we forgive, the way that we quit bickering and quarreling and saying, you shouldn't do that and I do that. Our testimony before the world is what Jesus says will help bring people to salvation. Essential, but it starts with us. It starts here. God started the world with two people. He instituted the church with 12. Look around. Can you imagine what we can do in this community, in your homes, in our schools, in this city, if we'd be willing to fight together and not against each other? If we'd be willing to stand tall for the essentials of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives, and how we can change our lives and give testimony. If we'd fight for that, can you imagine what happens? Can you imagine what the next generation looks like? Not the crap you see on TV. It starts with us. You don't get to get out of the fight, but what are you fighting for? What are you fighting over? Are you willing to fight for unity the way that Jesus calls us to fight? We are called to fight the right way. The right fight is love, peace, mutual edification, right, in agreeable unity together. We are the church, we are the family. We're to do it the right way, lovingly, like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Team's gonna come around, they're gonna pass forward some communion elements here. This morning, I just wanna give you a couple minutes to think and to pray. Communion is for those of us that are believers, that have said, yes, Christ, you are my Lord and Savior. And I believe that. If that's you this morning, hold on to those elements when they pass them around. We're gonna pray and then we'll take them together in just a couple minutes. If that's not you this morning, if you have not yet made the decision to make Jesus your Lord of your life, the struggle is real. The fight is out there. I don't need to convince you of that. I am here to try to tell you that you're not gonna make it on your own. The best decision that I've ever made and the one I believe you can ever make is to choose to entrust Jesus with your life. Be a part of the team. Be a part of the family of God. Let him change your life. If you have questions about that, come talk to us.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.